Time now for Western Michigan at Work. Each Tuesday evening at this time, the White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan, brings you a program about the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in them. Through these programs, we hope our listeners may become better acquainted with Western Michigan at Work. This evening, we visit Precision Castings Company in Kalamazoo. Your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. Did you ever think about what a big job it would be for one man to build an automobile? Back in the early days of the industry, of course, that's the way it was done. But if cars had to be built that way today, not many of us could afford to own one. The division of the labor into specialized jobs has been carried to an almost unbelievable point. I visited a plant in Kalamazoo last week where normally about 350 people devote their time to buffing, polishing, and plating the grill work and other shiny parts of your automobile. Between 80 and 90% of their production goes into the automobile trade. And within the Precision Castings plant, there is a further division of labor. I saw one man who was scheduled to spend the whole day buffing the letter D for the nameplate on the front of Ford cars. Each day he buffs a different letter, F, O, R, or D, but that's his whole job. There are other equally specialized jobs in the plant. The castings come here to Kalamazoo from the company's foundries in Fayetteville and Cleveland, Ohio. They are for automobile ornaments, grill work, molding, and so on. Some are for the new cars, some are for the older models, so broken or wrecked parts can be replaced. They are called zinc castings. Now, the first operation performed on them at the Kalamazoo plant is called buffing. There are two types of buffing, hand buffing and automatic buffing. In hand buffing, the operator holds the part against a rapidly rotating cotton buff wheel, impregnated with a buffing compound. I remarked to Mr. Wilson, who was showing me through the plant, that this looked rather easy. He assured me it wasn't. Furthermore, he said, it's a potentially dangerous occupation. If the part is held against the wheel in the wrong way, so that the edge of it is caught, it can fly against the operator's body and cause him grave injury. It takes a new workman at least 6 months to learn this trade. The men work with heavy gloves, which are furnished by the company, but with no other kind of protection. Accidents are not frequent because the men learn early to be careful. Polishers and buffers are paid well. They get a base rate and a bonus for production over a certain amount. But it's hard work, and it requires lots of skill, and as I've said, it involves some danger. A great deal of the buffing is done on automatic machines. By this method, the part, securely fastened in place, passes beneath a series of revolving buffers, which can be adjusted to take care of different shapes. I saw one of these machines that could turn out 4,200 pieces in an 8-hour period, doing the work of about 8 men. 3 men were required to tend the machine, so the net saving in manpower was therefore 5. A machine which automatically polished and buffed the lighter button for a certain car could turn out 10,400 a day. At one of these machines, I saw a typical example of American ingenuity at work. This particular machine had a circular table with raised knobs on it to hold the piece to be buffed. The tender was supposed to put on the piece to be buffed and then to take it off the knob when the job had been completed. But he found a way to save himself half of that work. He just fastened a piece of stiff wire to the machine, bent a hook into it, and adjusted it so that it would brush the part off as it came out of the buffer and let it fall into a waiting basket. After the polishing and buffing is done, the parts go to the plating department. Each part, large or small, has to be hung on a metal rack so that it can be immersed in the plating tanks. Now, I found out that the construction of these racks is an important job in itself. Precision Castings make their own racks at a very considerable savings, by the way. Joe Houston, who's in charge of that work, told me how it was done. It's really quite an exacting job and requires a good deal of ingenuity. These racks have to be designed so that they'll hold the parts firmly, leaving every bit of the metal exposed that has to be plated. Now, with some of the smaller parts particularly, that's not a very easy thing to figure out. Contact points have to be left exposed so that the electric current can pass through them. The rest of the rack is dipped with 8 coats of a plastic substance so that the racks themselves won't be plated along with the parts as they pass through the plating tanks. The racks holding the parts to be plated are carried over and across and into a series of 9 tanks in order to give them the first plate, which is copper. From there, they go to the nickel plating tanks, which are 4 in number. And then comes the chrome plate for those parts that receive that particular plating. This whole process takes close to 2 hours to complete. When the plating job is done, painting is sometimes added. The backs of grill pieces, for instance, are painted black. If you look on some of those shiny parts on your car, you'll notice that there are painted letters or painted decorations. Well, that's done by spraying over a mask, which is put on the part to cover every bit of it except the places that require paint. Although most of the production at Precision Castings consists of automotive parts, the company does make 1 or 2 other items. They have made pressure cookers, and right now a popular item is called the Precision Cooler. This looks very much like a cocktail shaker, but it's constructed on a somewhat different principle and designed to cool any kind of a beverage or fruit juice. You see, it has a self-contained chilling unit in which you put salt and cracked ice. The liquid to be cooled up to a quart in quantity then goes into the cooler, which is around this chilling unit, so that it's chilled without actually coming into contact with the ice at all. These precision coolers are marketed through a New York distributor. I'll be back in a moment to tell you more about the Precision Castings Company and to interview a couple of the people who work in the plant.
Western Michigan at Work is sponsored by White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan. They are local distributors for Fairbanks Scales. The White Sales stock of scales ranges from the small 1,000-pound capacity farm-type portable up to the 50-ton auto truck scales. They specialize in heavy-duty built-in floor scales for industry. Fairbanks Morse and Company have been making scales for well over 100 years. Their experience, plus the White Sales local scale service and repair department, permits them to meet any requirement. For further information, call White Sales at Scotts 371. Now back to Dr. Willis Dunbar and Western Michigan at Work.
Precision Castings Company grew out of the Kalamazoo Plating Works, an industry that dates back to 1906 in Kalamazoo. Owned for a time by George Wigginton, it later became the property of L. Joseph Nook. Following his death, it was sold in 1944 to Precision Castings Company, which operates foundries and plants in Cleveland, Fayetteville, and Syracuse. The local plant is operated by a Michigan corporation named Precision Castings, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of the parent company. Stanley Frost, the local man, is president and general manager of the Michigan corporation and the Kalamazoo plant. The company occupies the building which was formerly used by the American Sign Company and is located on West Willard Street. Production here in the course of a year amounts to between $1.5 and $2 million in value. Although normal employment is over 300, only a little over half that number are currently at work. The company operates on the basis of an individual contract with each worker. This contract guarantees the worker all the provisions of a union contract, such as seniority rights, grievance procedures, 6 paid holidays a year, and vacations with pay. In case of grievances, all the people in the department affected are called together to discuss the matter. Seniority rights are strictly observed. Each employee is given a $1,000 life insurance policy, the premium being paid by the company. And the company also pays for hospital and surgical insurance for each employee, but not his family. The people who work at Precision Castings have organized baseball and bowling teams. Right now, I'd like to have our listeners meet the manager of the baseball team at Precision Castings, Lester Heath. Mr. Heath, I guess you're pretty well known throughout the sports world and amongst sports-minded folks in Kalamazoo. I believe you used to play professional ball.
Yes, I did. I was signed by the Boston Red Sox and played for various clubs in their farm system for many years, before my arm went bad.
Very interesting. What were you, a pitcher?
Yes.
Did you enjoy managing that Precision Castings team this year?
Yes, I had lots of fun. We had a lot of good boys on the team.
How'd your boys do this year?
The season has been completed. In the first half, we were slow getting started, but we improved in the second half, winning 4 games and losing 3.
Well, that's a pretty good record. I should think that men who have worked hard all day like they do down at Precision Castings would be too tired to play baseball in the evening.
These boys are really interested in playing ball, and if you are really interested in playing, you are never too tired.
I see. Well, now, what benefits do you think accrue to the company and to the men from having a team, Mr. Heath?
Well, I think that the ball team is a moral builder for the company. It gives the men a common interest and provides them with a topic of conversation.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Heath, for being with us and representing the Precision Castings Company. Our second guest from Precision Castings is Joe Houston. How long have you been at Precision Castings, Mr. Houston?
12 years.
Let's see, you make those racks that I have been telling the folks about, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, I understand that you have a rather interesting hobby, Mr. Houston. Will you tell our listeners what it is?
Racing pigeons.
Racing pigeons. Well, that is something rather unique. You mean homing pigeons?
Yes, sir. Homing pigeons.
What are these? Ordinary pigeons that have been trained to come back home when they are taken long ways away?
No, they're pigeons that have been bred for generations for homing.
Oh, I see.
And,
it's a sort of an ancient practice,
yes,
huh?
Yes, the Army used them during the war for message carrying.
Hmm. And do many people here in Kalamazoo have this hobby?
Well, there's about 10 of them in our club.
Oh, you have a club?
Club.
What's it called?
Kalamazoo Racing Pigeon Club.
Well, well. Well, now, just how do you race these pigeons, Mr. Houston?
Well, when the birds are about 7 days old, why, we put a aluminum band on their leg, a seamless aluminum band, and if you wait any longer, you never get the band on. And the birds are about 3 years, 3 months old when we start training them for the races.
Well, how do you train them?
We take them on short hops, like the first hop would be about 2 miles.
Oh,
and go on down the line to about 35 miles. And then at 50 miles, right, we have our first race, young bird race.
Well, now, when you get them out 50 miles, say down here to Niles, that's about 50 miles away. Have you any idea how fast they fly?
Well, I have had birds come home in 49 minutes.
Faster than a mile a minute?
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, now, when you do these races, how do you manage that?
Well, we crate the birds. Well, before we crate the birds, we put a rubber counter mark on the bird's leg, and the bird was shipped to a liberation point, and
that's usually quite a ways away.
Quite a ways, and then a letter is sent along with the crate to let the express agent know what time to liberate the birds, and then the birds are liberated. Express agent send us a telegram. When the birds arrive home, why, we take these counterbands off their legs, put them in the clock, and there's a cylinder in the clock. We flip this cylinder, and it seals the band in the clock, and the clock starts.
So you know exactly how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very interesting. How many birds do you own?
About 20 pairs.
About 20 pairs. You usually count them by pairs.
Yes.
Well, that certainly is a very interesting hobby. How does Mrs. Houston like that?
Well, she's a pigeon widow.
She's a pigeon widow. Well, that's a very interesting way to put it. Thank you very much, Mr. Houston, for telling us about your hobby. And that's all the time we have, and it concludes our broadcast about Precision Castings Company.
That's the story of the Precision's Casting Company. Next week, we will bring you the story of Service Cylinder Gas Company. You have been listening to another Tuesday evening program in the series of Western Michigan at Work, presented to you at this time by White Sales Corporation, Scotts, Michigan, to our local distributors for Fairbanks Sales.